Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here and worship together again today, and what a great day it is for us as a church. Many of you know that today is the day of our annual meeting, and not only are we going to be sharing together in this service about the things that God has done in this past year in our lives as a church body and as individuals, but also as our church, but we're going to be looking and dreaming together towards the future of what we believe God is calling us to as a church body. And I hope that you will all stick around and join us following this morning's service. We're going to be having our annual meeting luncheon that'll be happening in the gymnasium right outside these doors after the second service, and we'll have a wonderful meal together, and then I promise a short annual meeting, because we're getting a lot of it in to our service here this morning. But we would love for you to come and join us after the service. Even if you didn't sign up on the connection card, we would love for you to come and to be a part of this this family lunch together. Question for you: how many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? Anybody? A few of you? How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution in the past? All right, excellent. Now, the next question: how many of you have broken that New Year's resolution just as quick as you made it? Yes, amen, right? I'm not alone. Good. You know, so many people make New Year's resolutions. You know, we're about a month into January. You think about that, and maybe some of you are in the boat that I'm finding myself in. You know, I told myself even before Christmas and New Year's that I was going to get a little bit healthier, get in better shape, eat better, all that kind of stuff, and I started off well. Of course, it didn't help that I said, well, I'm going to start early, get a head start on New Year's so that when I hit January 1, it'll be great, you know? So who else likes to start eating better before Thanksgiving? Stupid people. That's what I'm telling you. Stupid people. Me. So that was kind of interesting. I may have found myself, even this last week, surrounded by wonderful Mexican food, going, oh, man. And then breaking my New Year's resolution as quickly as possible. The truth is when you think about it, most people struggle with following through on their New Year's resolutions, or following through, if you will, on the vision that they have of who it is that they want to become in the new year. You know, the top resolutions, if you were to just do a quick search, top 10 resolutions that people make are things like losing weight, quitting smoking, learning something new, eating healthier, erasing debt. Some people want to spend more time with their family, travel to new places, maybe be less stressed or volunteer somewhere. And lastly, some people want to drink less. And with all the different resolutions that people make, I think it's interesting that statistics show that only 9.2% of people who set New Year's resolutions ever actually achieve those goals. And that says something very interesting about us, doesn't it? Why do you think it is? Why do you think it is that only about 9.2% actually achieve the goal? If you look at different studies, they'll say different things. Sometimes it'll say because maybe as people we're not as disciplined as we should be to follow through. But I believe one of the biggest things, and what studies will show, is one of the biggest issues is that people, while they say this is who I want to be or who I want to become or things that I would like to do that will carry on into the future, often they lack the commitment to take the steps to actually get where it is that they want to go or to who they want to be. In order for us to achieve the vision that we have for our own lives or even for us as a church, we not only have to be able to say, this is where I want to be or where I want to go, but we need to be committed to what it takes to actually getting there. You know, as a church, we've said that the vision that God has given us, and we talked about this in a series a couple months ago, as we talked about the vision that God is giving to our church leadership and to our church. As a church, we've said that the vision God has given us is this: to be a Holy Spirit-empowered body of believers that is focused on reaching our community and the world with the life-changing message of the gospel. I'll say that again. The vision that we see coming from Scripture is that God is calling us as a church is to be a Holy Spirit-empowered body of believers that is focused on reaching our community and the world with the life-changing message of the gospel. In order for us to achieve this vision, we believe that we must be committed, not only as a church body and a church leadership, but as individuals that make up Westgate Chapel, we must be committed and disciplined to the mission that God has given us. You see, people talk about vision as being that place that you want to be, right? It's that that person or place that you want to be that's out in the future, far away. And your mission is what you're actively doing in order to get to that place and to accomplish the vision that is set out. And we have said that our mission, if we're going to accomplish what God has called us to, that our mission is this, is that we are to be a church body that is passionate about leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, where they are growing in their intimacy with God, their community with other believers, and in their influence with non-believers. And the key words that I believe are most essential for us as a church body is that we must be committed and then also disciplined. You see, you can have discipline, but what gives you the heart to follow through is your commitment. And especially within the church, if we are going to be disciplined to achieve that which God has called us to, then our hearts must be fully committed to Him and to His plan and His purposes for us as individuals and collectively together as His body. And I want us to take some time this morning as I said, with our annual meeting, we're reflecting on the past year, but also looking to the future, to this next year of what God wants to accomplish in our church. I want us to take some time to talk about our commitment as a church, but also as individual followers of Jesus Christ to the high calling that we have received from the Lord. And to do so this morning, I'm going to actually invite our staff to come up and join me here on the platform as we're going to be spending some time talking about these different aspects of our mission that God has given to us, to see people growing in their intimacy with God, their community with believers, and their influence with non-believers. They're all staring at me saying, do we get the cue? So would you welcome them as they come and share with us? Just as a brief introduction, for those of you that don't know, from the far end of the stage to this side, this is Dave Bezek, our middle school pastor. Next to him is Pastor Jeff Duro, our high school ministries pastor. In the middle, shining like the beautiful sun, that is Glenn Lewis. Glenn Lewis, our care ministry pastor. This is Leah Broach, our children's ministry director. And here next to me is Mike Judge, our new discipleship pastor. So again, welcome them and for joining us here on the platform this morning. The reason that I've got these guys up here is I want us to take some time to really talk through the different things that we believe God has laid on our heart as a church, and I want you to hear it directly from them. One of the things that is key and most essential to the foundation of who we are as a church is that we believe God wants us to be a part of not only ourselves, but helping other people to grow in our intimacy with God, to be growing deeper in our personal relationship with Him. And our greatest passion as a church is just that, to help people grow deeper in Christ. We believe that this is one of the greatest callings that God has placed on our shoulders. And because we place such a high value on teaching of God's Word, I hope that you see that in our services, but that you also see that throughout all of our ministries. In an evangelical world that we live in today, where biblical illiteracy is actually a very huge issue, and it's a very high issue, we also see the problem that there is a lot of compromise with worldly values that is becoming the norm in the evangelical community. And because of that, we believe that it is even more essential to be a strong Bible-teaching church at all different levels, from the oldest of saints down to the very youngest of children. We believe the most important thing is that we're growing in that relationship with Christ. And there are so many great things that are happening in our different ministries, even within our children's ministry. One of the things I love about the children's ministry is not only the incredible Awana program that we have on Wednesday nights, but the Sunday morning programming, and as well the curriculums that we use and the way that we're teaching kids to value and to learn and to know and understand God's Word and the truth of the gospel. And so we use this curriculum called the Gospel Project. And Leah, could you tell us just a little bit about it? And tell us also why it is that you like this curriculum and think it is so essential for our children.
Well, we do use the Gospel Project. We start it from our teeny tiniest. We even teach this in our babies all the way up through fifth grade. And it goes through the entire Bible. We've been doing this now close to 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. We started at the beginning of Scripture, and last week we were really excited. It was a big celebration in KidVenture because we had made it to the resurrection of Christ. And what is so special about the Gospel Project is that it's teaching children the whole narrative of the Bible and not just picking and choosing. Some of you are familiar with flannel graph Bible lessons when we were younger. And kids are great about absorbing information. They can tell you about Noah's Ark and Jonah, but we really want them to understand how all that fit together and how from the very beginning of the fall of man, there was a plan of God's redemption for mankind. So we have been studying this as a whole. Today, they are looking at the Emmaus disciples. So we're getting to the part where we start sharing the good news, the gospel. And as a part of our curriculum, we have scripture that they memorize each unit. And most of our kids learn these verses every unit that we go through. And then we see it come back up in our Awana program as well. And we're just really excited. We know that we're doing a great job with this. Our teachers are, because the questions that our kids are starting to ask are so deep. And little children wanting to know the greater purpose of God's word. It's really exciting.
Yeah. And what I love is exactly what you're talking about, the fact that we're not just teaching kids stories, right? I grew up in church where I felt like, as a young kid, I was just learning the stories, but we're really trying to help them connect with the overall narrative of the gospel and of Jesus Christ as it moves through the Old Testament and into the New. And that is such a powerful tool as they get older to understand the story of redemption that flows from the beginning until the very end. And I love that this is flowing through all of our children's and student ministries in our church. You know, Pastor Jeff, I know that right now you're going through some hefty teaching topics with our high school students, and why don't you tell us just a little bit about that from kind of a bigger picture, but as well, from the large picture, I'd love for you to share with us well what you are striving to accomplish with our high school students through the teaching within the ministry.
Sure, excellent. Well, with the turn of the new year, one of my personal goals is to present God's word in a clear and simple way so that anyone hearing can understand God's message for them. And so I chose the book of Revelation and looking at world religions through a gospel lens. And so, yeah, some difficult topics, and yet as we apply some simple Bible study tools and look at, for instance, repetition and asking questions like, who is God? What is he revealing about himself and his work? We can get there together. Even a book like Revelation that is kind of surrounded with mystery and symbolism, Jesus revealed it so that it would be understood. It says in Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed are those who read these words, blessed are those who hear, and blessed are those who keep these words that are written, because the time is near. And so now we're looking at the title of the series, Revelation for Tomorrow and for Today, because God certainly gives some big words and some revelations for to come. And the good news is, spoiler alert, Jesus wins, and that's awesome. So we can live our life in light of that truth, but also realizing that we fit in God's story. And so, yeah, excited about that and how that relates to this bigger picture. I'm teaching, and as well as our leaders, small group leaders, not just for information, but really the goal is transformation. They will be learning to walk with Jesus daily. Just to say a few words about our other series on Sunday mornings about looking at world religions through a gospel lens. We're looking at kind of the eight core worldviews and whether our students, as they're exiting our ministry, are heading to the workforce or military service or into college or something else, they're going to be hit with these different opinions, these different allegations of truth. And so it is core and key that they know what the Bible teaches, what they believe, and be encouraged in those things, and even being aware of the differences. There's a lot of people who say, oh, we all believe the same thing. You know, that idea of universalism. You know, you worship your God, and I worship mine, and it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. We all pray to the same God. That's not what the Bible teaches. As we've already sang, what a wonderful name it is. God has a name. He has a story. He has a narrative. He has a message of salvation. There's one name under heaven in which we can be saved, right? And so we're just talking about some of these things, even giving them some tips on how to share their faith with friends as conversations come up, really so that right now we can be equipped in understanding what God's word says, but even going forward that we would be lifelong Christians.
Yeah. And one of the key things, you know, that Jeff mentioned is that not only are we teaching God's word so that they will have knowledge, but so that it will transform our lives and helping our students to understand it's not just about what goes in our head, but it's about how it sinks into our heart and changes who we are. And Dave, you mentioned in your annual report that part of that transformation process is that you've been feeling the need to begin focusing even more as well in the area of serving within our junior high ministry. Why don't you share a bit about that and why you think it's so important for not only our junior high students, but for our church body as a whole when it comes to serving others?
Yeah, one of the things as we entered into the new year, our middle school team and as we spent some time talking, we really sat and we evaluated. We do great retreats. We do great opportunities for students to get away in that deeper level of discipleship. One of the things the Lord really started to impact on our hearts was how are we taking what we're doing on those retreats and then in turn turn around and serving and pouring that back out. And so one of the things the Lord has really laid on our hearts is looking for strategic ways this year that our middle school students can, one, continue and even be more involved in serving our Westgate body, as well as our community and the world around us. The goal and the heartbeat behind that is we want our students, whether they're kids, children, all the way up through high school age students, we want them to know and experience they are a part of the body of Christ right now. That it's not just they're gonna be a part of the body of Christ. They are a part of the body of Christ right now. One of those ways that we grow in our relationship with God through elements of discipleship is by serving. When we go into those opportunities to serve, we go into them thinking we're going to pour out to others, but really, you know, it's kind of a cool experience that God pours out to us too. That he reveals himself in such deep, profound ways to us when we are serving and we're getting outside of ourselves. And so that is really the heartbeat behind what we're going to be doing this upcoming year, is we want to look for ways to strategically serve our body here at Westgate and then looking for opportunities to serve our community and all, everywhere around.
Yeah. And, you know, as a staff, I hope what you're hearing is that we are super passionate about helping people to grow deeper in their intimacy with God. We believe wholeheartedly that everything that we do as a church body and as individual followers of Christ flows from that place of an intimate walk with God and a deep love relationship with him. And I believe that you'll see that flow not only through our children's and student ministries, but also throughout all of our adult ministries. And this is, again, is Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike is our discipleship pastor, and this is a new role for him that we announced a couple weeks ago, where he's overseeing our life groups, our Sunday morning communities, also our men's and women's ministries, and also our guest services ministry. And you know, the truth is our whole staff is really passionate about helping people to grow deeper in their intimacy with God, and you, Mike, are in a very unique position as the discipleship pastor of helping to drive this on our adult ministry level. We've always said that we believe the most effective spiritual growth takes place in our lives when we're connected with other people. And so that's why we believe being in community with believers is so essential to accomplishing the vision that God has given to us. Could you share with us a little bit of the vision that God has been laying on your heart when it comes to getting our church family and even our guests connected and growing in their relationships with Christ?
Yeah, as I was beginning to process and pray about this role, I think the Lord put a couple of distinct goals on my heart that I'd just like to see our church take steps towards as a body. And those two goals are these, that we would take intentional steps towards growing as well-rounded disciples of Jesus Christ, and secondly, that we take intentional steps towards becoming a multi-generational church family. And so I just want to talk a little bit about those two things. What do I mean when I say well-rounded disciples of Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes I think in the church we find individuals who maybe have grown some in a certain area. Maybe they come on Sunday mornings and they've learned about practical wisdom and how they should live their lives. And so they're strong in that, but maybe they haven't learned a lot about how to study the word on their own or what it means to do evangelism. How are they trained or equipped to do that? And so they have this kind of thing where they're strong here, but they're maybe not strong over here in some of these other core places. And so one of my values is to make our church a place where we are all growing into being well-rounded disciples, carrying out this this banner in all of our different facets that God's calling us to. And so that's that piece. And then the second goal is that we would take intentional steps towards becoming a multi-generational church family. And really what I mean by this is that I believe that God wants this place to be a place where we come into this church and we can have these really intimate, intentional connections with other people here at the church. We'd be one family working together in the body of Christ, right? And it's easy for us, you guys all know this, when you walk into a church this size, to have this moment where you're maybe struggling or feeling like, especially if you're coming for the first time, where it's a big place. And it might feel intimidating to get connected into this family. And so you come maybe a few weeks, and I mean, that's a struggle for a lot of us. And at the end of the day, we can end up missing out on this family piece that is so key. And so we really want to be taking steps towards this. And when we look at the book of Acts and some of Paul's letters, we can see clearly that that's not the picture that God wants. He wants us to be connected. He wants us to be thriving together in community. And to do so, I would even say multi-generationally. That's something that's kind of a challenge for our church today, but to have people from all different age groups working together, doing life together, having community, I think that's really important and something that I'm excited about kind of driving towards in our church. So how do we do that practically? Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about in order towards how do we accomplish this goal or these two goals, but I just want to hit on two this morning that I think are pretty important, things that we're kind of prioritizing right now as a church. And the first thing we're going to be working on is our classes and communities here at Westgate. We have three communities going on right now, and we also have some occasional classes that we have, and those things are going well, but we'd like to see that ministry expand, and there's a couple of really cool things about classes and communities that are really exciting for us. You know, first of all, these are a great place to do that growing towards being well-rounded disciples. How cool is it that we can come and we can learn and really build and develop ourselves around some key areas, things like core Christian theology, classes on like how do we study the Bible, doing evangelism training, understanding and growing and like getting equipping on how do we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the list goes on, and classes are a really cool mechanism for discipleship. But what also is really great about classes is that they're a really natural, easy-to-access platform for getting to know other people here at the church, right? We can go and have a common interest and get to know other people for a few weeks, and then maybe at the end of that, we're getting plugged into with these relationships, maybe joining a life group, etc. There's a lot of natural community growth from classes and community, so we're excited about that. And that leads us into the other thing that we're really excited about kind of expanding, and that's our life group ministry here at the church. Right now, we do have some really great life groups going on, but we would love to see that build and develop more. We'd love it to be not a church with life group, but a church of life groups. That's one of Rob's favorite sayings, so I thought I'd steal it so he doesn't have to say it later. And that's just something we're passionate about because really, my heart, I think Rob's heart too, is that life groups are probably the ultimate mechanism within the Western church today for us to build and experience this Christian family that God is calling us towards, right? The place for us to come and let our hair down and to build relationships and even build each other. Iron sharpens iron. That is a great and really powerful platform for that. And so one of our pieces is that we are excited about building this up so that all of us in this room can maybe experience that a community in a life group capacity.
Yeah, and you know, as you talk about, I hope that you guys will hear and see, as Mike is talking about our Sunday morning communities and our classes, that we have some plans that we'll be rolling out later in this year to, again, enhance and provide more opportunities for people to connect in kind of those mid-size environments. But as well, we really, and thank you for stealing my thunder, Mike, I want us to be a church of life groups, not with. We believe wholeheartedly that that you grow the best in your relationship with Christ when you are connected relationally with other people. And if that's true, we want to be a church that is living in that community together. Because not only do we grow well in those environments, but as well, we're able to care for one another within the body of Christ when we are connected relationally in that way. One of the other aspects that we're really pushing towards this year, an exciting ministry that I'm really pumped about, Pastor Glenn has been working on this as our care ministry pastor, and that is Westgate Cares, that ministry. And you've been working on this very hard with a team of people, Glenn, to put it together. Could you share with us a little bit about Westgate Cares, what that ministry is, and how we could get involved?
One of the advantages of Westgate Chapel is it's a big church. A lot of resources in here. A lot of you have a lot of resources. One of the disadvantages, it's a big church. And because it's a big church, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to have people fall through the cracks. Things happen that we don't even know about. Things that we could help, but we just can't because we just don't know about those things. And Westgate Cares wants to help kind of ease some of those problems. As you know, we have people in the church who have issues. It could be financial. It could be practical, it could be spiritual. There's all kinds of things that needs that people have here in the church, and we want to be able to meet those needs. But in order to do that, we need you. As we've been talking about, you've been hearing all through this, it's all about the relationships that we have within the church. And we need to build those relationships and continue those relationships. But there are people who can't be part of life groups and can't be part of the Sunday morning service because they're in care facilities or they're shut in at home or for some other reason they just can't be here. And we would like to have a ministry to them as well. They're still part of our fellowship, and we'd like to have a ministry to them as well. There are other things. There are practical needs. People, they can get here to church, but they can't mow their lawn. Or, you know, they've just had two knee replacements. They shouldn't be standing up on a ladder changing a light bulb. So how can we help that? Well, that's where you guys come in. In your worship guide, you'll see this little brochure called Westgate Cares. And on the back is a tear-off. And if you feel that God has been calling you to help with this ministry, to help see people who have needs, help take care of those needs, whether they be practical, like I said, mowing grass or shoveling snow, or visitation. People are in nursing homes and nobody comes to see them. And they need people like you to come and take care of them as they move ahead in their lives. So if you feel God is calling you to this, get the tear off and fill it out, and we'll have a table in the lobby and a table in the atrium. And behind me, you're seeing, I think you're seeing some a map of Toledo, and you'll see all over Toledo are nursing homes and hospitals and homes where people are, where they can't get out. But you may be living in that area, and you could become a part of helping take care of those folks. Okay, and one more thing. For those of you who would like to get involved, we're going to be having a training session on February 24th. It's a Saturday morning, and there's information about it here in the brochure. We'd love to help you join us. If God is calling you to this ministry, listen to his call. We need you. Thanks.
And so if we're going to fulfill God's call on us to be a community of believers, and if we're going to grow that way together, not only do we need to be intentional about how we are coming together and doing life together and encouraging one another, but also we need to be very intentional about how we care for our community. And I hope what you're hearing from Pastor Glenn is that in a church this size, there are so many needs at times of people that, you know, just simple things that we can all take part in helping to care for our community. And I hope that you will develop a heart and a passion for that as well. If you'd like to be involved with that, please do stop by the table. But to tell you just a little bit more about that ministry and to give you a little bit more of a window into it, we've created this small video for you to watch to hear a little bit more.
My name is Kate, and I'm here to talk about Westgate Cares, an expanding ministry of our visitation ministry. We've always had visitation going on and for shut-ins and seniors, but now we've realized there are additional needs that need to be met by other groups as well.
We saw where there could be actually three different areas of focus, you might say. One is the visitation, which had been there and it just needed to be a little bit more refined. The other area that we got exposed to is the practical, because there are some people that shouldn't even be climbing a ladder to change a light bulb. And so how is that need met, and how is that need communicated? You know, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And so our challenge is, how do we take our blessings and pass them on to others so that they can be blessed? And just meeting some of these needs is definitely one way that we can do that. The third area was that of what I would call contact, where somebody might have a heart for serving, but they can't get out, they can't do certain things, but they could make phone calls or they could send text messages to those that are shut in.
Just going and saying, you know, may I sit here with you? The reaction that we get from that we've paid attention, that we've noticed that they're there, just can change their life completely or change their day. We have people that come in to play cards or do an activity, play games in our game room and things like that. But really, it's the investing of your time. It doesn't have have to be anything that's planned, but just making a point to share your time with somebody who needs visiting.
I really enjoy meeting with the people and letting them know that I care and that Westgate cares. As I had the opportunity to visit different people, I would notice different things that really needed done. Maybe a repair underneath the sink or a door that needed to be adjusted. And I thought, wow, this could fall under the practical needs that some of our people have.
So going into someone's home for a visit also allows the opportunity to maybe observe some other needs that they may have, but also to help them out with something that they need.
The needs in this church are tremendous, even though when you walk in on a Sunday, you may not see it. I had noticed that there was a woman coming into church, and I really felt the Holy Spirit moving me to say something to her. So I introduced myself, I asked her name, we had some small talk, and I asked her if there's anything I could do for her, and she said, yeah, cut my grass. So I started cutting her grass during the summer, got to know Sophie. This ministry is going to address that problem. And the verse that sticks with me the most when it comes to the care ministry is James 1:27, that tells us that in the eyes of God the Father, the true religion is taking care of the orphans and the widows in their affliction. And I believe that that's what we're going to do, and by doing so, we're going to honor and glorify God.
There are lots of different ways to get involved, other than just visiting one-on-one or bringing in your family. There are practical needs that need to be met as well. So if you're not really a people person or not very outgoing, there's still a place for you. We encourage you to get involved, and I challenge you to join this ministry and help make a difference in someone's life.
So we've talked about growing in our intimacy with God, also growing in community with other believers, and the other part of our mission statement is to grow in our influence with non-believers. And there are so many ways that as a church that we have been doing and will continue to do outreach. It seems at times as though what we do really, really well is in providing large events and activities for people to be a part of, to come and invite their friends, and this is a good thing. But I know that also one of the deep passions that God has been laying on my heart, but also especially on Julianne's heart, is in the responsibility that we have as individual believers in Jesus Christ is to take advantage of the opportunities that He is giving to us every single day to reach the people that He has placed in our lives, especially through developing relationships with them. Julianne is our outreach and volunteer director here at Westgate Chapel, and she has such an important role in helping to guide and to shape this. And so, Julianne, will you share with us a little bit of your journey in this sense and how this led to kind of our Christmas in the Streets initiatives, and also where you see God taking us in this coming year?
I started at Westgate 5 years ago working with young adults, and I just had an understanding of missions and international students, and so I was called to those things, and I've dug my hands deep in that. And then in this last year, I started in this position with outreach and working with volunteers, and all of these are all building blocks. It perfectly goes with the intimacy with God, community with believers, influence with unbelievers. All of that is important. All the things that we said about discipleship and multi-generational and growing had me questioning, well, how does that fit into outreach specifically? We know it, but what does it really mean? And so I've been wrestling with that question, full obedience in all facets as we are following Jesus. And so I kind of was asking questions like, what does this role look like? Because we have been doing it well, and just praying a lot as for God to lead me. And the Alliance mission statement they use for the Christian Missionary Alliance is that the Alliance is a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. And that's something that we've been hearing in this church often. But I felt like that was part of, as I was wrestling, this was one of the answers, is that Acts 1:8 says that to the church in Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. This power that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so this vision is for us to love our neighbors and to all nations. It's not just one or the other. And sometimes we can get caught up on one, but as we're in full obedience, as we're being discipled and emulating Jesus and letting the Spirit lead us, it's this all of them, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so I've been asking myself, we each need to ask, who is that? And we each go to different parts of this town and this community and have different spheres of influence. Praise God. And then also for Westgate, who is that to us? As we are in this location in Sylvania Township in the year 2018, what does that mean? How do we live in full obedience? And so I want to do both. I want to be obedient. So we've been praying for the Lord to guide us into being the church in the streets instead of always inviting in, which is important. As our full discipleship, we're also going out. And so our Church in the Streets projects have been, I called the mayor, I called every person I could think of and said, what can we do for you? And so many of the needs, I know our town has needs, but they're relational. And the programs can't solve them. The people can solve them. The people who know these people can help. And also in this time, Betty Bassett and McCord Road, our sister in this, gave me the book, The Art of Neighboring. And it just brought all these pieces together as equipping, that's our word, equipping to send people into the streets and identifying our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so our outreach events are awesome, and you guys are the best at giving your time and resources and making these things great, and those are supposed to be relational tools. That's not the end product. So when we do Church in the Streets, we're going out and meeting these needs to relationally actually meet their needs, and really it's Jesus that's going to meet their needs. We know that's what they need. But also, when we were thinking of our Christmas outreach and the different things that we're doing, we're supposed to use this lens. It's a filter to say, how can we use these gathering places, these invitation spaces, as a tool relationally? So we're going to keep doing these events where our doors are open to the whole community. We want everyone to know that they're invited. But the point is that relationally, we're coming alongside people. We're inviting our neighbors. The relationships we've been obedient to in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, our international students that are here and our missionaries, we're using the tools as outreach for God to keep growing his kingdom. So that's what I'm excited about doing. I love this community. I love that we prayed and the Lord has answered in creating open doors with Sylvania schools and creating doors with the Sylvania Chamber of Commerce. That is how we have such a significant role in the Sylvania Fall Festival. International students, global opportunities. There's so many amazing things that are happening because we've been praying and he's opening doors. So thank you guys for joining us in that. And you're going to hear more stories about, here's a couple today, but you all have stories that I've heard and are so awesome as you love your neighbors and are just being obedient.
Yeah, it was last year, about the middle of the year, that Julianne was up here talking with Mike as he was sharing a message on this very topic of going out and sharing the gospel with those that God has placed around us, that really a heartbeat has developed within our staff and our leadership and hopefully within our church, that we're not just looking at the large events as things we do to bring people to, but also there are opportunities to continue developing relationships, and through relationships that we have, to look for opportunities to share the gospel. The book that Julianne has talked about, The Art of Neighboring, talks all about the fact that so many people in America today don't know their neighbors that are even next door. They couldn't tell you their names or even a couple of facts about them. And in the church, this must change. We must become more passionate about reaching the people that God has placed around us. And as Julianne shared that, Heather, and as she and I were talking the past couple weeks, told me that, you know, the Lord had begun kind of a twinge in her own heart of just the need that there was, that she didn't know her neighbors well enough, that there were opportunities that God was giving her to share the good news. And she was shared a testimony with me of how God was kind of moving in her heart this Christmas season when we talked about doing, like, even, you know, Christmas parties in your neighborhood or finding ways to reach your neighbors and build relationships and get to know them. And Heather, why don't you share a little bit of that testimony with us?
Sure. Yeah, I was convicted when Julianne spoke and when she handed that little flyer out in the worship guide that had you write down your names of your neighbors and what you knew about them, that I didn't know my neighbors very well. And then that was followed up by a speaker, I believe, at the IF conference who said, you know, people tend to ask, where's my mission field? Where's my mission field? And she said, look down where your feet are planted. And I thought, okay. So I imagined standing before the Lord one day and having him say, you left your neighbors, but I planted you in that neighborhood and you left them all behind. And I thought, oh, so this growing conviction started to rise in me. And we live in a neighborhood that is largely retired people and older. So sometimes our lifestyles don't intersect all the time. And but I thought over the summer, I do tend to see them outside, and when we are walking and riding bikes, we will just be more intentional about trying to strike up conversations with them. So that's what we did, and I did get to know some of my immediate neighbors better. And as I would take walks through our neighborhood, I would just kind of pray as I would pass different houses, and there were two houses at the end of our street that just really just kept tugging at my heart, and I wasn't aware of what their situations were, but I started seeing signs that indicated certain things, like visiting angels coming or home health popping in different times, and a walker being delivered, things like that. So at one point, I had the opportunity to ask another one of my neighbors who had lived in the neighborhood a long time if she knew what those situations were. And in both cases, husbands were caring for their ailing wives. And so I just continued to pray that maybe God would open a door for us to be available to them, or just for some face-to-face time, some contact maybe with some of my different neighbors. And then the Christmas in the Streets thing came out. And my family had always been involved in Bethlehem Experience and really enjoyed that. And we weren't going to do that as a church this year. I thought, okay, well, we'll do Christmas in the Streets. And I started praying about what we could do for our neighbors. And I didn't feel like inviting them to our home for a party was the right approach. And so God gave me this idea that just kept coming. I knew it was from him, which was, you need to take coffee cakes to your neighbors. And I was like, okay. So now there's nothing magical about coffee cakes. I'm still unclear as to why that was the specific thing, but it was. I asked my prayer group to pray about it. I told them that I had really had this really strong sense, and it kept recurring that this is what I was supposed to do. And it felt a little out of my comfort zone to go knocking on doors of neighbors I did not know with a coffee cake. But my kids were all for it. They thought it was an awesome idea. And so 2 days before Christmas Eve, we loaded up a bag of coffee cakes and set off down the road. And it felt funny. There were five of us just sort of peddling our wares is what it felt like. But we went door to door and said, Merry Christmas. Here's a coffee cake. And we're your neighbors. And we woke a couple older gentlemen up from their afternoon naps, but hope the coffee cake eased that over. We got to the end of the street where one of the families, one of the couples lived where he was caring for his wife. And I had never met them, but they invited us in. And so we were able to spend a little time with them and get to know them and connect with them. When we left there, I said to my children, that is why we did this. Like, I don't know. Right there, we've made a connection with them, and they don't have children that live in town, and we're going to follow up on that. I don't know where God will take that, but that's why we did this. Everyone else was, we were received at the door until they took the coffee cake and said thank you. But we've had some really neat opportunities that have come from that. God doesn't always give us thank yous for the things that we do when we're obedient. He doesn't always show us the fruit of what we have done or what he's asked us to do. But God has graciously, in several ways, let us see and let my children see the fruit of that, and it's been a huge blessing. So
that is cool. And one of the cool things that Heather and I talked about was the fact that I think it was a week later, after you guys had gone out and done this, Heather was going through the local Perrysburg newspaper, and as she had told me, she thought, you know, I'll just turn to the letters of the editor, see what kind of people are complaining these days and what they've got to say, and, you know, sure there's some goodies in there to read. And this here is the letter to the editor that she saw a week later, and I'm going to read it to you. A few days before Christmas, I was home helping my wife wrap Christmas presents. This was a new duty for me because, frankly, there's only one thing I'm worse at, and that's writing notes on Christmas cards. In my small town in western New York, I was one of just a few who flunked the writing test in seventh grade. For a while, that was called cursive, but now, because of scientists of which I'm one, even that's obsolete. And since my wife is disabled, I get to do these things that I have rarely done and at which I'm just incompetent. Back to present wrapping. I'm awful at that too, but we were all set up in the front hall when there was a knock on the door, and there stood a mother with her four daughters. Before I could say a word, she handed me a package and said, "We made this pound cake for you. Please have a Merry Christmas. And we're your neighbors from down the street." I didn't know them, nor did I have the common sense to remember their last name. While I chatted with the four girls about school, their teachers, they were homeschooled, and various things about Santa Claus and Christmas, their mother chatted with my wife. Neither of us got the family's name, but we want them to know, and all other Perrysburgers who do random acts for others at the holiday season, just because they wanted to, just how much that means. Thank you all, Doug and Sue Neckers. What an incredible testimony. Please. What, you know, it was a couple weeks later, Heather sent it to Julianne sent it to me, and I'm sitting at my desk in tears, like going, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Recognizing that God has given us an opportunity with people all around us every single day to just simply love them in the name of Jesus, and it can make an impact. I can't imagine, Heather, what it must have been like to flip through the paper and to see this and to go, wow, God's confirmation for you and for your kids that when you listen to his voice and answer, that you can and will make an impact because he's the one doing the work in the lives of people. You know, another cool testimony that we had to share was that of Stephanie. And Stephanie was sharing with me not long ago about how upset she had been when she had become injured, and she works with TARDA, driving a bus, and because of her injury, she wasn't able to drive the bus, but had to work in the office, and we all know how fun that is, but God gave her a really cool opportunity, and when she listened, it gets even better. Stephanie, why don't you share with us?
Yeah, so back in September, I actually got injured. I fell through my friend's deck. It was kind of a freak accident. It could have happened to anybody. The wood didn't even break. It was like a teeter-totter. Like, nothing was actually holding the wood down. So when I stepped on the one end, I went down. The other side came up, and it was pretty rough. But because of that, I couldn't drive. I couldn't even sit. I could drive, but I couldn't sit for more than 2 hours at a time. And so I got placed inside, and I was pretty frustrated. It was a really difficult time for me, and I just had a really bad attitude. I was actually placed in an office with Crystal, who's here this morning. She works in HR. And I left for a doctor's appointment one day, and when I got in my car, God said, "Why don't you let me use you where I have you?" And I went, ouch, because he was right. I just had a horrible attitude. He's God, he's right. I had to change my attitude. And so when I went back to work that afternoon, Crystal came up to me and she said, "You know, I don't understand how other people can hear God and why I can't." And I was like, okay. So I asked a couple questions and ended up inviting her to church. And she came back in the fall. And the first Sunday that she was here, they gave a really strong salvation message. And I had turned to her and I said, we haven't really talked about this, you know, in great detail, but do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And she said, you know what? I didn't even know that was an option. I'm going to have to think about it. And I said, okay, that's awesome. That's great. If you have any questions, please don't be afraid to ask. I love Jesus, and I love telling people about him. So, you know, if you have any questions at all, please ask me. And she said, okay. And we continued the relationship with each other, and she kept coming to church. And a couple months later, there was another strong salvation message, and I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me, ask again. And so I turned to her, and I said, do you want peace with God? Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? And she said, yes. It was very exciting. And so we went to the prayer room, and I explained, hey, you don't have to go to the prayer room to talk to God, but we're going to go there so that we can talk. And we met with the elders, and we prayed over Crystal and for Crystal, and Crystal prayed herself and asked Jesus into her heart. And it's just so exciting to see God's pursuit of her. And it's an honor to be a part of what God is doing because of an injury. I told Crystal, I said, you know, I'd fall through a deck again if it meant that someone else gets to meet Jesus. Because that's what it's about. It's what it's about. He is worth it. So I'm thankful.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. That is exactly what it is all about. And as I hear you share that testimony and that story of just being faithful to recognize, even though you don't want to be there, recognizing God has given me the opportunity wherever I am to share the good news of the gospel. And I remember being in an elder meeting that same Sunday, and Jim Eckert, who's sitting right over there wiping the tear from his eye, comes walking in and says, I got to pray with this young lady to receive Jesus Christ, and it was awesome to worship. Crystal, I am so glad you are part of our church family. I am. And my heart is so good to know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. We're excited to have you here with us. And I want us to see from this, guys, that God gives us opportunities every day to share the good news of the gospel. He's placed us in relationships, and at times we ignore those relationships. But he's calling us to just open up our eyes and to see and say, who has he called me to love and to share the good news, either with words or with actions? And when we are faithful, he is faithful to do the work as well. Would you give these ladies a hand and thank them for sharing with us this morning? You know, while the church organization, us, the church body, can look at the vision that God has given us, when we can look and say, okay, we believe that God has called us to be this Holy Spirit-empowered body of believers that is focused on reaching our community and the world with the life-changing message of the gospel, we can look at that vision as a church community and body and say, you know, we can set ourselves up for success. As a leadership, we can put programs in place and systems in place that will help us to achieve that goal. But the bottom line truth is this. The only way that the church will ever move forward and can move forward is if the individuals that make up the body of Christ see this vision and this mission not as the church's or the leadership's responsibility, but our personal calling and our mandate from the Lord as individuals. And we ourselves choose and make the choice to submit our hearts to him and to truly be all in. We see this, our mission, our vision that God has given to us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 39. And I want to read that to you here as we close this morning. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, is the great commandment. And this is what it says. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question in order to test him. And he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. But the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The greatest commandment that Jesus ever gave us
was to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. To love him with every fiber of our being. To completely submit and surrender our hearts to him and to the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to see, even here in this passage, is Jesus makes so clear that this is the greatest commandment, is that everything in the Christian life flows directly from this commandment. Love for God causes us to yield our hearts to him. Love for God brings us to yielding and trusting in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Love for God causes us to love the community of believers that he has placed us in. And love for God causes us to love those who don't know him, which moves us to reach out and to share the good news of the gospel. The greatest commandment of loving the Lord our God with all that we are, it is the greatest because everything that happens in the Christian life flows from that one truth. And the power that is in Jesus Christ flows through that truth as well. And I hope that you see that. It's the very reason in our mission as a church that we say, the very first thing we say is that we want people to grow in their intimacy with God. Because the more that they pour out their hearts and their lives in submission to God and to living in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, when you make that yield and you love God with all that you are, it is then that everything else in the Christian life will naturally flow from who you are. You don't have to try to be in community with one another. You don't have to force yourself to go out and share, because the love of God will so fill your heart and life because of your love and submission to him that you will do those things as a natural byproduct. And thus, I believe this passage, it's the very reason that it says then that while that is the first commandment, that the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this passage, when it said that your neighbor was anyone and everyone that your life came into contact with, it wasn't just the person that lived in the house next door, even though that truly is your neighbor. Your neighbor was anyone you came into contact with, the person you sit next to at school or at work or on the bus or on an airplane, whoever you begin that conversation with. When your life comes to that place of touch, that person is your neighbor. And we are called as followers of Jesus Christ because of his love for us and our love for him to be those who will love our neighbor. That means that as the body of Christ, it is essential that we learn to love one another in the way that God loves us. That's why we believe that we should have intimacy with God, but also community with other believers, because God has given us this community so that we can love and be loved. It's a place where we can be encouraged, where we can be supported, where we can experience compassion. It's a place where we need to forgive others, where patience is necessary, where accountability must be present, a place where we can confront sin and love each other regardless of sin. God has given us this body in order to love one another. And because of that love that we have for God and for each other, as we do life together and live in community with one another, it will be a beautiful testimony to the world that surrounds us of the love of God. And part of loving our God and loving each other is also loving those who don't know him. And that includes two things that I think are essential and important. Number one, we cannot, as followers of Jesus Christ, be turned off by the sin of the world that surrounds us. So often when we hear of the sin that is out in the world, or we look at people that live, quote, sinful lives, we get ourselves puffed up, and it's very easy to shake our heads and go, look at those people and what we're doing. We live in a polarizing culture today. Like, one of the topics, as I was meeting with a bunch of pastors this past week, one of the topics we were talking about is how Christians today in the evangelical community will look at people that are homosexual, that we would consider that a sin, and we shake our heads at them like, man, look at them. There's something deeply wrong with them. You know what's interesting? You and I would go to hell simply because we lied and we sinned against God. All sin separates us from God. What does it tell you? There is no difference between us and them. Why would we ever think to look at somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ and shake our head like their sin is worse than the sin that we ourselves have had? We need to learn to be a people that look and love in the way that Jesus did. Did Jesus ever in Scripture condemn the sinner? No. He loved them. Who did he condemn? the self-righteous Christians, the self-righteous Pharisees, the ones who looked at themselves and said, I've got it together and you people don't. May it never be true of us that we are those people as his church, as his bride. Jesus has called on us to love and show his love to the world that surrounds us. And the only way that we can do that is by building authentic relationships that carry the capacity to communicate the gospel and God's love. Will you be that church? My friends, will you be the people that strive deeply to grow in your intimacy with God, that his love would so fill your life that the natural outflow would be that you love one another and grow in community with each other, and that from that would flow a passion and a heart for those that don't know him, that you would never find yourself shaking your head at people that maybe you think somehow are different than you, but you would see that we are all in the same boat, desperately in need of a Savior. And therefore, your response is love. Love your neighbor. My challenge to you as we close our service this morning, as we continue to focus in our annual meeting on the great things that God has done, I encourage you to read those reports that you got when you came in, to hear of the things that God has been doing through our ministries. But my real hope this morning is that God would be so filling your heart through the Holy Spirit with a clear vision of who he wants you to be in this coming year, of how he wants to grow and develop you in those areas of intimacy with him, of joining together in community with this body of believers and having influence in the lives of those that he has planted all around you. How can you grow in those areas, and what is God calling you to? May that be our prayer this morning. May we seek God that he would make that clear, and may we have the commitment and the heart for him that would help us to be disciplined to follow hard after that vision. Would you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for the time that we have had together in your word this morning. We thank you, God, for the vision that you have given to us in your word of who we are called to be as your church. And Father, I pray that you would help each of us as individuals to recognize that this is something that we must embrace. Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would place a conviction in our hearts, that we would become individuals that are passionate about being Holy Spirit-empowered body of believers that are focused on reaching our community and the world with the life-changing message of the gospel. Lord, we've talked for weeks about what it means, about who your Holy Spirit is. We've talked for weeks about his empowering work in our lives. And so, God, I pray that you would take us to a very new place in this year to come in understanding who the Holy Spirit is, but also, God, how to yield the control of our lives to his power and to his strength. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill this body of believers. I pray that there would be nothing that we do that would quench your work in our lives and in our hearts, that would hold us back from experiencing all that you have for us. And that as we yield our hearts to you, that your power would be manifest in the way that we love God, in the way that we love and care for one another and do life together, but also importantly, in the way that we love the world and the community that surrounds us. Father, we exist to glorify your name. And so set our hearts on this and help us to see our role. And God, I pray that you would continue to develop each of us as individuals into the people you desire us to be, that your name would be lifted up in this world and receive glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.